life on planet Earth is more important than just living on planet Earth. But sometimes we really don't have the choice, do we? Sometimes we have to live by the codes that someone else has given us, to the extent that we start to believe that they are our own codes. And that's difficult. The most difficult part of it is that we can believe a story. We can believe how the world is. We can believe that if we work hard enough and we attain the things that they say we should, we'll be happy, cheerful, free, and life will be perfect. That is a carrot that we can chase most of our lives and never attain, winding up on our deathbeds realizing that most of our lives we were chasing a carrot that may not have been our own. In some cases, some people achieve it. I find a great deal of dissatisfaction and sadness because they never lived their own story. That's why one of the most important things for each and every one of us is to live our own story. It's to learn early on what our dream is, what our desire is, what makes us come alive, and then find a way to attain that. I had a teacher once named Jose Havde. She was a Seneca. She told us that when they were raised in their culture, the idea was this: when you're young, you don't have to go out and make a living, and when you have the time, you work hard at learning what you want to do, learning how to follow your dreams, learning how to hear your own voice, and then when you understand what you want, while you're still in the household of your family, not needing to make money to survive, you work in order to create a way to make money, to make a living, fulfilling your dream, so that by the time you leave your home, you are doing what brings you satisfaction and joy. I thought about how it was when I was young. We hadn't heard much about many different things, jobs or professions or anything like that. We only knew about what we saw on TV, which was doctors, lawyers, and policemen usually. We knew a little bit about firemen because we had seen fires, but that's about it. We knew what our parents did. Nothing beyond that. But we were never taught to take what we'd be doing as adults seriously. We didn't know how things worked. Some of us actually thought that if you worked 40 hours a week, you would be paid enough to live well. We thought that 40 hours a week at any job would guarantee you at least housing, transportation, you would get health care. And if you were frugal, or if you worked a little bit more, a little extra, you could save up money for things like trips or better cars, or all of the things that were desired but not necessary. Most of us didn't know that we were incorrect about that until around high school. And we learned that by observing people. We never had a discussion about one's work and how one would have to survive by doing that work. And we never had a discussion where they told us that you can work hard, you can work 40 hours a week, you can do the best that you could do, but you still would not get paid enough to make a living. That was ridiculous to us. How could anybody know about that? How could anybody know about the injustice in the world? We thought that when we saw a homeless person or someone on the street, they were just an alcoholic or druggie or they were a bum. They didn't want to work. No one told us how missing a couple of paychecks could get one cast on the street and out of work. We were naive. We had no idea about work, no idea about jobs. Very few of us had ideas about fulfilling our dreams, and we were so thwarted about it when we were young that many of us never followed up. Instead of telling us that we could do it when we were very young and allowing us to make our way and to learn how to do it, we were told that it was a pipe dream. We'd never make it. Look at the competition. You'll never make it as a singer or an actor or a dancer. Concentrate on something that brings in money. Maybe a mechanic or a bricklayer, or maybe you could be a doctor. Something that guaranteed a paycheck. The problem is, though, that those things didn't fill our hearts. Now, some people have jobs like that and are happy because that is the fulfillment of their dreams. But it wasn't the fulfillment of our dreams. So we went floating along, hoping for something good to happen. And like most people, the only time I really started thinking seriously about a profession was when I got to college. When people asked me what I wanted to major in, and I went to a college where there were over 100 majors, and I had to choose one, and didn't end up in the field that I chose. That is the irony. And that is the problem when people do not really address the practical issues with their children when it comes to being happy, being fulfilled, creating the type of life that they want, coming to a place where they can fulfill their hopes and dreams. Knowing about arranging things so that they can make a living doing whatever they want. Full time, or most of the time. That doesn't happen. So we find ourselves living in this strange little band of reality, one that is designated by someone else. Working on Maslow's hierarchy of needs. That tell us we'll only be happy when we have all kinds of things. And of course, if one believes that, attaining all of these things comes before attaining happiness. But I don't believe those things. I think, you see, trying to do that and live by those things is what we talk about as living on this earth. But it is definitely not life. Because life is flourishing. Life is beautiful. It's wonderful. It's getting up in the morning and looking forward to one's daily tasks. To something so good that a lot of times you don't even refer to it as work. Is anyone telling us this now? No. Is anyone telling our children these things now? No. Are our schools teaching us about self-satisfaction and happiness paired with responsibility, or are they teaching us to get the highest score that we can on the next test so that the school won't be defunded? This is the problem. This is the issue. And the greater problem is that we all know that these schools should be doing this, but they aren't. So we get angry. And we rightly fight. Write letters. Try to elect the right officials. Go on strike. Work hard to get these things done. Unfortunately, though, that's not enough. You see, it's not good enough to get groups together just to fight for social justice. These groups need to be working in order to create a parallel system, to create a system that is getting the things done that they need to have done now. We can't wait for the system to do it. We have to do it ourselves. At first, this is what churches were for. They called them voluntary associations where people could get together and could meet and could talk and plan on the best way to create a good community for themselves and their children. This happened probably for thousands of years until some of the people who didn't want it to happen, who didn't want the people to be empowered, began to see what was happening and saw it as a threat and began to take over the institutions to place their people in charge in order to dull down the members, to create a doctrine that turned the dynamism of religion into something docile. Something like the people in Mississippi said, the governor there was so ridiculous that he said that they believed in an afterlife and this was just a moment, so it wasn't important for them to get vaccines or wear masks or to avoid getting COVID. That is the type of philosophy that they have filled the churches with now, and this is not every church, of course. Just the more inane, inept, docile churches that know nothing of life, of love, of goodness, and responsibility of the neighbor. And that's why I'm saying we have to do this ourselves. We can flip this world. We can turn it around right now. As soon as we begin to take power and empower ourselves and to reach out across the gaps, across all of the divisions in order to become one power, one hope, one love, one creative force. And the thing is, no matter how tragic things are, how sad, how terrible, we as a people always have the power right there to change it. There is a song, Let It Be, by the Beatles, by Paul McCartney. And there's one line that a lot of people miss. A lot of people say, well, we can't just relax. We can't just let it be. We got to go out and fight. But they miss the line where they say, when all the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer. Let it be. For though they may be broken-hearted, there's a chance that they will see. There will be an answer. Let it be. He was talking about what I've been talking about. It's time to remove the blinders. And it's time for us to realize that we are all brokenhearted because there is so much injustice in the world. Some people cover their brokenness, their sadness with anger. Some with hatred. Some by joining religions with false leaders. Some by drinking too much. Some by taking drugs. Some by becoming workaholics. Or being angry all the time. all these things, though, are just a cover for the brokenness, the pain, and the suffering that is common to human beings who find themselves in a society that is bereft of justice, equity, love, and compassion. It's hard to admit that sometimes, but that is the world, that is the country that we live in, and the only way we're going to get those things is agreeing with each other and making it so ourselves. Earth, Wind, and Fire said, painted a pretty smile each day. Loving is a blessing. Never let it fade away. It's all about love. Build yourself a true romance with the beauty that surrounds you. You deserve one more chance, my dear. Let the light shine all through your mind. Feel your little heart aglow. Take the time. Take the time. Don't rush. Take the time and make up your mind. It's all about love. When we really get this, you see. When we really make up our minds and we create a world based on love and sharing instead of anger, competition, and hatred, our dreams will come true. One at a time. And we will find a source of happiness that has been deep in our hearts, buried for so many years underneath all of the tricks, the manipulation, the lies, the brainwashing telling us that we will not be good enough until we can perform better than everyone else, like a circus animal. Or bring in more food or money. That is the problem. And all of these things make it impossible for us to accept ourselves and see the beauty around us. Because when we look around us, we see the pain and the separation that comes from the box that we build about ourselves to protect ourselves from everyone we're competing in. And in this world, we are taught most of the time to compete against everybody or to gather friends around us to help our group compete against everybody. Friends who have to be a certain way. Prove that they aren't the other. And we too have to control ourselves, to dull our minds, to hold back our senses, not to speak openly, so we won't be misconceived, so we won't be cast out, so we won't be put in the role of the other. It's time to get rid of the other philosophy. And to reclaim the idea of we, the people. We, the people. Not we, the blacks, we, the whites, the Latinos, Latinx, we, the GBLT people, or we, the BIPOC people. Or we, the Italian Americans or Polish Americans or the many labels we give ourselves. No, I'm not talking about those labels. I'm talking about we, the people. And only when we realize that we are one and decide to live by that instead of the doctrines of hatred and separation, will we be free? If you'd like to help us reach more people, become a donor. Help to support this radio podcast. Or you can visit our website at www.nextstepcoaching.mysite.com. That is www.nextstepcoaching.mysite.com. Take a look at it. explore all the things we're doing. And if you want to be part of a group that's working to make the world a better place for ourselves, our children, and our children's children, you will find a donation page and a Patreon button where you can join us in the work of bringing life out of our hearts into the world. Now back to the show. Earth, Wind, and Fire says, have you ever seen a flower trying to grow in a desert land? Then along comes a sweet spring shower just to lend a helping hand. Like the love of you and I, all at once it comes alive. You brought the love, your love is life. Have you ever seen a mother and how tenderly she treats her child? And those birds in the treetops, how they protect their young from the wild. Oh, your love, it comforts me, and you're my security. You brought love, your love is life. That is what I'm talking about. A world of love. Because love equals life. Fear, anger bumping into each other is this living that we have been given. I suggest that we all turn back to love and life. And when we bring together many people, all in love with the world, we create places where life flourishes and chases away the fear, chases away the darkness, chases away all of the negativities. We create the world that we once dreamed of. Before all of the TV and all of the fancy magazines and the radio ads and all of the heroes were held up for us to strive to be, we didn't dream about that. We dreamt about a place where we could be our authentic self, where we could laugh, where we could play, where we could fight, where we could argue, where we could be corrected if we made mistakes and be allowed to apologize and make up for it. And most of all, where we could create together, create a world that mimicked the joy, the splendor, and the creativity that exists in every one of our hearts. You brought the love. Let's put it back out. Break the bars on the cages around it. You brought the love. Your love is life. And your love is life. And life more abundantly. Life on planet Earth. Namaste, which means the divine inside me recognizes, adores, bows down before the divinity in you.